This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
So last weekend, we were just a few shy of about 100 people who took this amazing step of faith in their lives. And of course, that step of faith represents something we talked about last weekend, which is that moment of change, right? That moment of change that occurs in our lives at the moment that we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. And there's this scripture that I think has almost been, sort of like a theme for us these last few weeks. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I want us to just read this together. And I mean, as we read this together, would you just let the joy that's in your heart today, and if you don't have joy, I promise you will by the time you leave here. So you can fake it now, and you will catch up to that feeling later. Anyway, let's read it together. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Here we go. Ready? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. And of course, what that means is that everything becomes perfect in your life, right? No, of course not. And nor does it mean that all the struggles just disappear or the challenges just fade away immediately, right? But what it does mean is that instead of now being a sin-filled, unworthy of God's love, separated from Him person, you are now forgiven, you are now made worthy, and you are now declared a son or daughter of God. And that's the promise, and that's what baptism represents. And see, that's why we get so excited about baptism here at The Orchard. I mean, because it really is a big deal. In fact, not only is it a big deal, but for most of the people that you saw on this video today, and many of you who are actually at the baptism last weekend, you know, that step into that water, and that moment of publicly declaring their faith in Christ is really just a reflection of a journey that took, you know, for some days, for some weeks, months, and for many of them, a journey that they've been on for years. And so today I want to talk a little bit about that journey. And I know you're wondering, why in the heck do we have all these chairs up here? Well, I just would really like to get comfortable today. Okay, no, I'm kidding. No, the reason I have these here is because I want to give you an opportunity to meet a few of the people who were baptized. And so if you would right now check under your seat, if there's a sticker under there, I would like you to come up. No, I'm kidding. So some of you are like, well, no way, I wasn't even baptized last weekend. But this morning, no, I do. I want to give you a chance to meet a handful of people who were baptized. In fact, I'd like to ask them to go ahead and come on up right now. Those of you who I've already asked to come up, those are the ones I'm talking about. Come on up here. Would you welcome them to the stage this morning? Come on. All right, guys. How you doing? All right. Now, you guys have no idea how difficult it is for these guys to get up here and to actually do this. I mean, this is a big deal, okay? And so you are in for a real treat because, first of all, the diversity that's on this stage is absolutely amazing. Diversity of stories, diversity of journey, the challenges that led up to this moment and all of that. And so what I want to do is I want to start right over here with you, Jason, and I already gave your name away, but you can say it anyway. But I want you to tell us your name. Go ahead and pass the mic down to Jason. Tell us your name, your credit card numbers, and no, I'm kidding.
Five.
You're going to do it. Write it down. No, I'm just kidding. No, tell us your name. How long have you been at The Orchard?
My name is Jason Ibey. I've been at The Orchard for a little over 1 year.
Awesome. And don't tell anyone how much we had to pay you to come up here today.
It's a lot.
Right. Awesome. And your wife, Robin?
My name's Robin Ivy, and I've been here for a little over a year.
Awesome.
My name's Rachel.
Hold that mic real close.
Okay. My name's Rachel, and I've been here for about 4 years.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. All right. Here we are. Who's got the mic? We'll start with you, Tony. Go ahead.
My name's Tony Scotty. I've been coming to The Orchard for about a year and a half now.
All right. Pass that mic on over.
Hi, Larry Snowberger. It's almost 2 years since I've been here at The Orchard.
Wow.
Hi, I'm Sarah Hammond, and I've been coming to The Orchard for about 10 months. And my name is Jerry Hensley, and we were actually, my wife and I, Melinda, were married by Scott's father, Pastor Larry Hodge, 23 years ago. And I think Scott now terms us Cheesters because we've moved away and we're here at Christmas and Easter most of the time, so we're a Cheester. But yeah, 23 years ago.
Awesome, awesome. We'll go ahead and hold on to that mic because I'm going to actually talk to you first in a second, Jerry. I want to talk about that journey a little bit this morning and some of the various intersections that we sort of cross on that journey to following Christ. And, you know, the thing is, none of these people here woke up last weekend and said, you know, I think we should get baptized. No, for most of them, that was the culmination of a journey that they've been on for quite some time. Now, you got to know that this isn't really super planned out. This is just going to be pretty raw. And we really wanted this to be very, just for you to hear, just very authentically from their hearts. And so I want to talk a little bit about the journey, and then I'm going to just kind of ask these guys to chime in a little bit and share some of their experiences, some of their stories. You know, the journey of following Christ is a journey that brings with it several, like I said a minute ago, several different intersections. And so the key is, how do we navigate through those intersections? How do we take those steps forward? One of those intersections that we seem to come across is one that involves an awful lot, and this is the first word. If you're taking notes, you might want to write these down, but the first word is the word rethinking. Rethinking. You know, there's this point in our lives where we begin to rethink some things about ourselves. We begin to rethink some things about our lives. And Jerry, I want to start with you because, first of all, you know, you've been, like, you know, you say you're married by my dad 23 years ago. Spirituality has always, to some degree, been a part of your life. But over these last, 6 months, your faith has come alive to you in a way that it never has before. Can you just give us a little bit of the background of where you've been these last 6 months?
Well, I think, you know, to start out with, I believe it was the Saturday night, actually, before Mother's Day, and we were sitting in my living room, and my wife had said that she was going to come to Mother's Day church on Sunday with her mom and her family, and I think my comment back to her that kind of came out of nowhere was, well, what time are we leaving? Because, as I said, you know, we're kind of part-timers now that we moved up to Bartlett, and we don't get back down here as often as we should. And
so is this like a Mother's Day gift for you to go to church?
Right, right. So that was the inexpensive way of getting out of Mother's Day. So
consider this your gift, honey.
Yeah. So you know, we got up on that Sunday morning, and I have three boys, Matt, Jared, and Brandon. And
are they here?
Matt, Jared, and Brandon are here. They're in the back
there.
Good
thing you guys are here, because that would have been awfully embarrassing if you weren't. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, guys.
And we just made the offer to them. Again, we had never really made Sunday morning church or church at all, kind of a family experience. And so, you know, I'd been thinking about it, and I just said, well, that's maybe a way in this busy world to at least once a week get everybody together for a few hours and take a car ride and maybe have brunch and see what happens the rest of the day. So that started, and along with my sons, they brought their girlfriends that day, so it was really a whole family experience, and we went out to brunch, and it was your typical Mother's Day. And I think, you know, later that day, and then on Monday, when you wake up and the world continues the next day, you just started thinking, and I think I thought, wow, what a wonderful day that was. You know, my family was together, and you just walked out of here with such a good feeling, and you just said, I can't wait till next Sunday. It was just a great experience. And
it's like something began to happen.
Yeah, just, you know, exactly. The feelings started to happen. Then, you know, the nerves came alive, and it was like, well, that was just a great new experience. And
and so this hunger is beginning to increase. Then little did you know that three weeks later?
Yeah, it was 3 weeks later on a Saturday morning. You know, as we got up to do our normal weekend stuff, my wife and I tried to reach our oldest son, who was on a motorcycle ride up to Wisconsin with his girlfriend following behind him, to take his bike back up to get some work done on it. And as we got a hold of Delia, his girlfriend, I think it was, "Good morning, Mrs. Hensley." And then it was, "Oh, my God, Matt. "Oh my God!" And my son was then involved in a real bad motorcycle accident, single vehicle.
And she was behind him.
She was behind him in a car, following him, and saw the whole thing happen.
While she was on the phone.
While she was on the phone with my wife, who was obviously listening to it happen. And we were approximately an hour away because it happened up a little bit past Great America. And, of course, our life changed dramatically that day. And
let me just say something here. I received a phone call just within minutes of everything happening. And the only thing I knew is that at that point, Matt was being, what's the word
for it? Airlifted.
Airlifted to hospital. No one knew. Is he even alive? Is he, what state he's in? And just tell us about those moments.
Yeah, I think my wife and I actually made a U-turn on the road, got on the highway, and I think as men do, you try to be the man of the house, and so I'm trying to keep her calm, and we're just sitting there, and I think at that time our prayers began, and it was like stages of prayer, and it was like, well, I just want to pray that let's pray that our son's alive when we get there, and then let's pray that he doesn't have brain damage, and we had heard. When Delia got out of the car to see Matt lying up against the concrete median, the phone had dropped on 294, and the lady who stopped behind her had picked up that phone and answered it when we called, and when my wife called. And so the lady at that point had said, "Well, I can't stay on the phone. There's been a really bad accident." And my wife said, "Well, I know that's my son. And how is my son?" And she said, "Well, ma'am, all I can tell you is he's alive." And so, like I said, our prayers began, and let's pray that he's alive. Let's pray for the brain damage. Let's pray for rehabilitative injuries. And
just one step at a time. Isn't
one step at a time. Yeah. And in the meantime, we're flying, well within the law, of course, up 294. And so I think one of my last, as you try to search for positive comments, I said to my wife, "Well, at least we know he's alive, and at least he's, not being airlifted." And it was about 10 seconds later that Delia called and said, "Matt's being airlifted." And so it kind of sank us down, and you need to get there quickly. And so, of course, we did, and we actually beat the helicopter to the hospital, so we were going pretty good.
You were speeding. That's okay. I think there's times when maybe it's okay, right?
Right.
Don't quote me on that. Right. Don't tell the officer the pastor said. Okay. No, but let me just kind of jump ahead here a little bit. There's so many details of this story, and some other time I want us to spend time on this because it is an amazing story that Matt's even alive today, that he can even walk. I mean, and Matt's here. Stand up, Matt. Would you just for a second? And, I mean, look, he looks pretty good, right? You look good, Matt. I mean, you always look good, but, I mean, you still, I mean, no, and it's just amazing that you're here today, and there's so much to this story, and amazing way, miracle, you are a miracle that you're even here today. But what's amazing to me, Jerry, is how God, God was not taken back by what happened. He was not surprised by this. He knew. And it seems like there was this preparation that was happening in your hearts just weeks earlier. I mean, suddenly your faith is getting stirred like it had never been stirred before. Even Matt, his faith, and your family, things were happening. And I just think that just shows us the goodness of God in our lives. That we don't even know that we're prepared sometimes to handle things like that, yet we oftentimes are. So then this leads up to you getting baptized last weekend. So you went into that water, and we're talking about how we rethink on that journey. Can you just tell me, just using one or two phrases, what do you feel like you've seen yourself rethinking in your life over these last few months?
Well, I think just one of the main things is just reprioritizing your life. It's, I'm a business owner, and it's, it always seems like, in these days work is important and keeping everybody happy, and sometimes you forget the things that are right in front of your face. Yeah. And, you really, when something like that happens, you go back and, hey, when's the last time I hugged my children, or when's the last time I told my wife I love her, or, just all those little things. And so I think reprioritizing, rethinking, and, baptism, and I'm sure Scott's going to say this at some point, during the sermon today, but, You know, it's not a miracle cure. You don't go down in the water and just everything's repaired from the past and you're a new person. It's really a part of enjoying the journey of where you started and where you're going to end up. And, you know, for me, family, my children, friends, faith, that's what's important. And that's what I'm making sure now that every day I spend a little bit more time on that. And when those speed bumps or bad situations, negative things happen, because they're going to. I don't care how many times you go down in the water. It's, you know, you can go down the water every day and it's there's still going to be problems in life. And at least now it gives you a thinking process. Yes. It gives you somewhere to go to before you react to that negative situation. And that's what I've really felt is important. And that's how I'm trying to lead my life from here on out.
I think this that's good, Jerry. I think this. You know, something powerful happens in our lives as we begin to rethink some things. I think one of the most freeing moments, most powerful moments of our lives is those moments where you realize that in spite of being a good person, despite having tons of sincerity and drive and motivation and leadership, whatever it might be, you realize that you've been headed the wrong direction. And what a freeing moment that is. On one hand, it's a kind of a terrifying moment, yet on the other hand, there's this freedom when you come to discover that. And I want to switch over to you guys, Jason and Robin. And it's really cool to see you guys sitting up here, because I remember, I think, like the first time you guys showed up here, because you were actually invited here by a friend of mine who's also a friend of yours. And I'd love to hear just Robin a little bit, because you've been on quite a journey these last 3 or 4 years, and you said something to me that really sticks with me, and I want you to sort of expound on it. I'm going to read what you wrote, and then I want you to expound on it. You said this. You said about 3 or 4 years ago you went through a divorce, and you said you thought that it would be, quote, you thought it would be good for your daughter to have a chance to have exposure to faith. Little did I know that it was me who needed it the most and who it had the biggest impact on.
Right.
I'm guessing that there are many people here that totally resonates with. Tell me about that.
Well, it was probably one of the hardest things anybody would go through. And knowing how, I'm sorry, I get emotional hearing that. For me, I felt like, you know, when you go through a divorce, you're not just severing from somebody else, but it also impacts the children that are involved. And I feel like I caused an instability in her life, and she needed something that was stable. And the best way to do that was to introduce her to a faith so she can have a choice and a decision and a stability and a guidance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Since I felt like, at the time, like I was a failure. Mm. Mm. But I would drop her off at Sunday school, and then I would, you know, come into the church, and every time the pastor would speak, because at that time it was the beginning of my journey before I started coming here, I felt like he was singling me out in the crowd and only talking to me, and I would end up in tears at the end of the service. And at the time, I'm like, why am I crying? What's wrong with me? You know, you know, and each time and of course, my daughter actually loved going, had a little social impact on her, as well as, you know, afterwards we'd go for breakfast and she would talk about what they talked about, and I saw just a spark in her eye, and it was something she looked forward to. So we kept going and we kept going, and each time that she went, I, you know, obviously was going as well, and again, tears would just start rolling down my face, and I felt like the words were reaching to me.
See,
and
we have spies that go out during the week, and they watch everyone, and they tell me what everyone, no. Let me interrupt you just for a second and ask you, like, during that time, what were some things that you found yourself rethinking? Some things that maybe, you know, you used to think about things this way, and suddenly you're feeling kind of this tension because you're seeing that there's another way to think about it. Do you have some examples of some things, or what kind of things?
Yeah, a lot. The main thing was, again, I told you I felt like I was a failure and all that, and then hearing the words that God does love you and unconditionally, and I was so hard on myself for putting my daughter through that, and yet at the time it was the best decision I could make stability-wise for her, and seeing just the change of how it affected the both of us. Yeah. Words can't describe it. It's made such an amazing impact on my life.
And so some shifts begin
just naturally shifting and changing on its own, and rethinking things and listening to the word and trying to apply that to my everyday life. And it's hard. There's times where it's, you know, things happen and you're like, why me? What's going on? But, you know, when you hear more and more of the message, it's amazing how much it's just changing that way of thinking and really trying to apply that. It's hard, but it makes such a difference.
It's
and looking,
freeing.
It is.
Freeing,
it is.
I think it's when I was growing up, the word was not really rethinking. The word was repent. Repenting. You know, a lot of times when we think repenting, what do we think of? We think of the guy standing on the street corner with the megaphone, right? Shouting at everyone, you're all going to hell, right? but if you think about what repentance is, the Greek word for repentance simply means a change of mind, a shift in how we think. And I think what happens in our journey is we begin to rethink some things. And once we begin to rethink some things, it begins to affect how we believe and what we believe. And I think that's the second word is believing. Which believing, when I say believing, this is not just believing in terms of just giving mental assent of, yes, I do recognize here. It's a type of believing, I think, that really does something in our hearts, you know? Having a belief that's real enough that it actually causes you to begin living differently and making different decisions. Tony, I want to talk to you because I feel like that your journey, there were some obstacles that you've been, and it's just some things you've been through in your life that, I would almost say there's anyone on this stage who has reason to say or would have an excuse to say, I don't want anything to do with God, or a reason to be able to say that. I feel like you're someone who could so easily say that because you have a background that is, man, a pretty rough background. Can you just tell us a little bit about your background, how you grew up and all of that?
Sure. Well, basically, the way it had come up in my, you know, in my journey of faith was during the baggage series, and you know, we were talking about a lot of things that are buried, you know, they're kind of buried down, and a lot of those things that came up were things that had happened when I was a child, and it was a challenging childhood, and I was in a rough, grew up in kind of a rough neighborhood with lack of guidance, lack of parents, and kind of left to go out and do as I pleased. And in that neighborhood, there's a lot of things to be concerned with as a child that age, and so
I know the details. So just whatever he's saying, add like 10 times worse than whatever you're imagining right now, and that's his story.
So there was a lot of a lot of temptation to get involved with what was around there. You know, of course, what you would expect from a rough side of town: drugs and gang violence and things of that nature. And so I guess a lot of those challenges, a lot of those obstacles that were hard to overcome. I was kind of in and out with my faith as a child. Of course, you know, there were times when I had been at church and times when I had gotten that message. And I just think, looking back on it, I'd have to say that. And through my faith and through this, certain realizations that I just come through recently, is that looking back on that, there's no way that God wasn't in my life. You know, been able to make it through that part of my life was it had to take, somebody looking down and looking after you.
That's so profound. I mean, I think it would be so easy for us, for some of us in our lives, to look at our past and just be so bitter about it and so angry and so. And I'm sure there's some things you had to work through with that, but to be able to sit up here today and to say, you know what, I can look back and see that God had to have been involved because of what I, that's an amazing thing. And tell me this, because you had shared a little bit about how, because of your background, there were some mindsets that you had to kind of work through, and that you feel like in over these last, even several months, last year or so, God has helped you to overcome a lot of these ways of thinking. Tell us about those.
Well, kind of looking through that paradigm or that window, when you're in that situation, you're looking from the inside out. You see, other people out there that have life a lot better than you do, and you know, you ask God why, you know, or why am I in this situation? It's very easy, you know, and you hear it quite a bit in other people's journeys on faith of how they say, how could God let this, you know, let this happen to me? Or why is it that this person was born in this type of lifestyle and I wasn't? Why am I here? You know, and so it's easy to get, you know, down on yourself that way. And some of the challenges are, you know, it's easy just to go ahead and say, well, I'm going to go and take those things for myself, you know. So a lot of the immediate gratification is looming, and it's a temptation that it's easy to go down that path. So I was at this crossroads when I was about 12 years old, and I had a certain family that was deep into that type of a lifestyle that had offered me to become a part of it. And I had that path, and I remember wrestling with it and asking my friends, you know, what would you do? What, you know, should I do this? You know, they're offering to take me in, and there's a lot of things, you know, as you can imagine, that were very tempting for a person that age, especially with the lack of guidance that there was. But then I also had this alternate decision where I could have taken a better path, and I was offered an alternative type of lifestyle. And I really think that at that point in my life, I think that, you know, God really set in and helped me to make that decision, which is a hard one, you know, for a 12-year-old, at that time in your life. So.
And you ended up becoming, your story's amazing. We don't have time to get into all of it, but you end up becoming getting adopted.
Yep.
Ending up in a home that you would have never dreamt in a million years you'd be in, that has changed the course of your life. And you said something, Tony, to me in conversation. You said that you had to really work through this mindset of not being good enough, not being able to, in fact, you said this. You said, when you think that way, it's hard to think that you're actually loved. You know, I mean, to really be able to grasp that God loves you. And let's hit the pause button, because I want to come back to your story in just a minute, and I want you to share some of the things you begin recently discovering, some of the steps you've taken in your life. This whole belief thing, we begin to rethink things, we begin to believe. Believing can be hard because sometimes there's these obstacles we have to work through. Other times I think it's hard because of doubts that we struggle with, right? And there's that question we all have of, like, how many doubts are okay to have? Can I have three? Can I have nine? Like, what's that number that I need to have overcome before I can truly engage in this relationship with Christ? Well, Rachel, I want to talk to you because you've taken the step of faith. You were baptized last weekend. And how old are you, Rachel?
14.
You're 14. And do you have doubts?
Yeah, I mean...
Wait, you got baptized with doubts? What? Tell us about it. What are some of those struggles?
Well, you know, I'm going back to school in a few days, and I've seen a lot of my friends go down paths that are just really bad, and, you know, they were close to me, and I just see that, and it really hurts me that, you know, they might end up somewhere where I couldn't even imagine. And also, you know, things like, what if something happens to me or to someone I love that I just think, how can God, you know, do that? And then I lose my faith.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just have to trust in him that even getting baptized, he will help me throughout my journey. And, you know, whatever happens, he'll be there for me, and my family will be there for me. And, you know.
Yeah. I mean, here you are, 14 years of age, and you're thinking about being baptized. Yet at the same time, you know you have these doubts or these struggles, these questions of what happens when I get back to school, right? What happens if something shakes my faith? And yet you... And I think this is where a lot of us could get stuck, if we say, well, I'm just going to wait, right, until I have all those questions answered.
Yeah.
Then I'll take the step of faith. But you didn't wait.
No.
You said, even with these doubts, I'm going to step forward. Why did you make that decision?
Well, you know, you don't know if those questions are going to be answered in the next, like, 5 years, or it could be 10 years until some of those are answered. And I don't want to wait that long because, you know, I want to accept God into my life now because I feel like I need him.
Wow.
And, you know, I've gone through some stuff that I just feel like, you know, now is the time. Before I've wanted to, but now I look back and say I was close, but I needed more time and to come here.
You are wise beyond your years. I mean, there's something there for all of us to learn. Jason, let's talk to you for just a second. Tell me just about some of the doubts that you have What are a couple of those doubts you've, even maybe even that you've brought into the journey with you, even now, maybe doubts you have? Or
well, I'd say growing up, I started out Catholic. My mom brought me into religion through Catholicism, and in my childhood, all the way up until recently, I've kind of been a very defensive person. Like very, like people when their first impression of me is basically I'm a, what's a nice word for it?
Just say it.
An a-hole. You know, I mean, because it's just it's just because that's it's
wait,
just
I,
a
wait. A, what's I don't even what is that? No, I'm just kidding.
Not a nice person. Thank you, wife. Thank you, Robin.
Only at the Orchard.
So, but when people get to know me, then they realize that you know I'm a very approachable person. But it's just a defense mechanism that I've created, that I've designed for myself, and through all the way up, I'm 32 years old, and through up until now, I've basically been constructing this wall around me, and I didn't realize that I was actually on the outside, and I didn't even wasn't even getting to know myself, and I didn't. And as far as faith and God, for me, my doubts were, you know, I'm a very tangible person. I like to see, I like to feel, I like to use my senses to experience things, and you know, I was being led down the wrong road through information that I've. You know, I'm a very analytical person. I overanalyze things to death. Robin will testify to that. And I just basically created this idea that we're just floating around in space aimlessly, waiting for a meteor to hit us and start over. And that was just like, that's a very negative way, but that's how I've always thought of it. And what I've realized is it's, after really meeting Robin and meeting her beautiful child Isabella, and coming here and really having this platform of, you know, good people and yourself and just all of that, I've just realized that, you know, I've been starting tearing that wall down and starting to get to know myself. And I realize, you know, faith is it's a really hard idea. You know, it can be a hard idea if you make it that way, but it can be also as simple as seeing the effect of wind. You know, that's basically what, I mean, a metaphor for faith. You know, you don't see wind, but you see the effects of it. So
yeah, it's good.
And that's just part of it. I mean, I'm just really, you know, I've always wished that I could get back to that faith that I had as a child. You know, that wondrous faith
simple
of
faith,
simple
yeah.
faith, you know, yeah. And I think that I've just built on top of what, you know, in this direction it's always been, and now I realize it's not wrong, but it's not too late to turn around, and that was what the baptism symbolized for me, is making a positive step in the opposite direction.
It's interesting you say simple, this the simple faith, because when I remember this time in the scriptures where the disciples, they say to Jesus, like, Jesus, increase our faith. We need faith. And Jesus is like, look, you think you need, like, all this huge faith. What you really need is just faith the size of a mustard seed. And so, and yet at the same time, on the other hand, you know, Jesus was also very clear in saying that, you know, if we say we believe the message, but we don't actually seek to live like this, then really it's just a matter of words. And so, I think that when it comes to this idea of belief and working through these doubts, this is the phrase that I think would help us. And I'm going to put it on the screens. Faith that counts is not the absence of doubt. It is the presence of action. I mean, just think about that for a second. That faith that counts is not the absence of doubt. It's the presence of action. In other words, it moves you. It propels you and moves you forward. I want to thank you for sharing that, Jason. I want to move over to Larry real quick. We're running out of time. But Larry, faith isn't anything new to you. You've been around faith.
Right.
And I want to hear two things from you. I want you to tell us what led you to your decision to be baptized. You were baptized with your son?
Yes.
Is he here with us?
No, he's not. He's in the next service. So.
No, okay. But you're baptized with your son, which was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
So tell us first of all about that. I mean, a year ago, you wanted to get baptized.
Yes, I did.
But you didn't.
Right, I didn't. you know, the reason I didn't is because my dad died, plain and simple, and that consumed a lot of my time. You can already hear my voice cracking as a result of this. But the one thing I'll tell you is I step back and look at the journey I've had and their journey my dad had. And I watched my dad as an example for me, for my life, to all the things, you know, not that you don't want to do them, but all the things that he did was running from God. I mean, he never did the things that I would think he should have done, you know, throughout life. And to start that, I guess to set the stage for that is he had this disease or ailment or whatever you want to call it, but it was called acromegaly, and not many people know what that is, but if I told you the common term is giantism. So my dad was a big, imposing guy. His hand could wrap around my face. I mean, he's that big, which is consequently is the thing that I feared the most. but he that disease or ailment just tears you down. I mean, it just breaks down your body because your body grows so fast that you actually outgrow the capacity of your body. So I saw him go through these debilitating stages of life. And all the way through the point that he couldn't walk anymore, ended up in a wheelchair, and then went through these later stages of life. The last 3 years of his life, he didn't sleep in a bed. He slept at the kitchen table, sitting in a chair, because he couldn't lay down because of the pain. Wow. So I got this phone call one day, right around their anniversary is on June 20th. Sorry. So it was like 2 days after that, he called me and said, hey, just want to wish you guys happy anniversary. And we returned the same because we happened to get married on the same day as they did several years later. but it wasn't, you know, I thought he was going to call me with a follow-up call like a Monday after that. And I get this phone call and it's like, hey, you just want to tell you your dad had a stroke. And it was my sister. And of course, panic comes through, and I knew my dad's wishes. He didn't want to go through this life of living anything, you know, out of a bed or anything worse than what he'd already gone through. So they took him to the hospital. He made these decisions. He knew he wasn't going to recover, so he ended up going into hospice care, but they actually never even moved him. So he went from the room he was in, moved him 2 floors, and he went into hospice, and he stayed there for probably a week, a little over a week. So I got there within a couple days after this happened. Sat there, and like I said, the guy that ran from God all of his life, I watched him accept Christ in the last couple days. Wow. Which is pretty powerful. It's amazing. And then we went through this progress where I watched him die a little more every day. Until that day. So.
And so you, a year later now, walk into that water, and just briefly tell me what that feeling was like.
Oh, powerful. Obviously, I wanted to do that, you know, a year ago, but those circumstances prevented me. But in my mind, that was even more of a reason to go forward, get baptized, and that's what I wanted to do. And my son talked him into doing that with me, so that was pretty cool. To share that with my son, yeah. Something I wish my dad would have shared with me, that would have been cool. So we had that opportunity. But
how cool is that? You get to share that with your son.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Never, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but when I went in there, I was going into that water, I'm thinking about, man, this is the step that I don't want to live my life for running from God. I want to be the guy that lives his life running to God.
Amen. Amen. Gosh, that's beautiful. You know, so there's this rethinking. There's this believing, and then there's this receiving. Receiving is not an easy thing. When I say receiving, I think the main thing I think we need to know about it is that receiving is something that only you can do. Your parents can't receive for you. Your family members can't receive, your friends can't receive for you. Only you can receive. And Sarah, I want to talk to you. You grew up in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. When you were 8 years old, you came to know Christ as your Savior. But your spiritual life was kind of this, wasn't it?
Definitely.
And I mean, and we don't have a lot of time. This is, I'm going to move you to the front end in the next service because okay. You've got some great, but tell me though, real quick, that journey and how that's changed and what you've discovered.
Well, I guess when I was a teenager, all this really became real. It's when you can really start applying it to your life and really start understanding it. And I had this head knowledge of God's unconditional love, but I think I never really, maybe I felt it in my heart, but I didn't let it into places that it should have been. And all through high school, I went to a couple different youth groups, and I always learned that I shouldn't conform to the world, but I ended up conforming to Christianity and doing these things because I thought I was supposed to do them.
Wait. You said you were conforming to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? You know, who are we to conform to? Jesus. Right? Conform to Jesus. Sometimes we become so focused on conforming to a religion or even maybe some good things, but it's not always the same thing as conforming to Jesus. And it's interesting because you were trying to conform to Christianity or what everyone told you you're supposed to be doing, and you knew about God's unconditional love here, but it wasn't connecting here. I wonder if there's a connection with that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure there is. It wasn't until I came here that I really started to feel alive, and I think that a lot of it was different series we went through. Like Tony mentioned, the Baggage series was awesome for me, and I think it was when I really, really let that love into the deepest, darkest places of my heart that I didn't let anyone see, in the most broken places, that I really started to come alive, and things really started to happen in my life, and I stopped chasing after things that, you know, wouldn't fulfill me at all, and started really, really living for God.
You said the statement at our leaders gathering, Fuel. Was it last month or a couple months ago or something?
It was in like April.
It was April?
It was a while ago.
Oh, wow, okay.
That's okay.
you didn't have to do that. No, I'm just kidding. But no, you said, sir, you said, quote, and this has just stuck with us, I found a new way to live in God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's so much beauty in that statement.
There really, really is.
Tell me in a minute or less what that means.
I mean, kind of what I was saying, just about letting God just into these places that you don't let anyone else, and letting him be something for you that you've never let him be before. I've had numerous codependent things in my life, codependent relationships, and it was because I knew I needed something. I was trying to fill something.
Yeah.
And I thought that I had let God fill it before, but I really didn't until this last, you know, 8, 10, 6 months that I really, really let him in and let his love in and really began to feel it. And a lot of it also is the people here. Like, this place is awesome. I feel so at home here when I walk through these doors.
I agree with that.
No, but seriously, walking through these doors, I feel so at home here, and I feel so loved here, and I don't feel judged here, and I feel like I could do anything wrong, and people just be like, you know, they're gonna love me no matter what here, and it's awesome. It's so awesome, and it's not one or two people. It's just the whole community here, so it's all you guys.
It's everyone, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and it seems like, Sarah, like you've really taken this new ownership of your faith, and in other words, you've shifted now from following this faith of others or this faith of family now to really following the faith of Sarah. It's just your faith, and you own that. And see, I think being able to receive for yourself is so important. See, there's some of us, we really struggle with this whole receiving, but here's what I think is important. We have to cultivate the ability to receive from God. Because without it, we always run this risk of thinking that we can somehow then achieve it or we can earn it, you know? It's like God is constantly saying, I want to love you. I want to empower you. I want to fill you with my mercy and my grace. And if we don't learn how to receive those things, then we end up making it about us and our performance and how good we can measure up and all of that, which means I think what God calls us to on this journey is to release shame. And to release pride, and to release guilt, and to just surrender to his goodness, and to just open our arms up and to say, God, I receive it into my life. And so we have to learn how to receive. I mean, if we can't receive from friends or from people around us, how do we receive from God? Because what God wants to give us is much greater than what our friends want to give us. But I'll be honest, sometimes I struggle to receive from even just my close friends. people who want to bless me. I find myself, and you know what that is? It seems like a kind of a good thing that I'm not like wanting to, but you know what? At the core of that oftentimes is pride. And so that's part of what I think God strips us of on this journey, is to help us to be able to receive. And then, of course, once we receive, we take that next step, which is the step you all took last weekend of going public with your faith in Christ. And that's and the way that's done is the same way it's been done for thousands of years for followers of Jesus. And that's through baptism. Now, of course, baptism, that's not what made you guys Christians, because baptism doesn't make you a Christian. It just shows that you are one. And you know, it's interesting, and I want to close with this, and I want you guys just to give me just one or two words of what you feel like, because of course, not only, and by the way, let me just say this, many of you probably, if I remember right, were actually baptized as infants, many of you who are baptized, so this was like a second baptism for you, and it's interesting because this was a way for so many of you to build upon the foundation of your parents who they had you baptized as a way of saying, we want our children to follow God. And so you recognize, though, that while that was their decision, now this was your decision. And now you're saying, I own my faith. And my parents, they had that desire for me, and now I have this desire, and I want to take the step of faith for myself. But the symbolism of baptism, going down in the water, and that old person being buried, and then coming out of the water and being a brand new person, is such a powerful and such a symbolic moment. But even beyond that, it was interesting because so many of you shared with me how you felt like when you went down under that water, there were things that you were letting go of, that you were releasing. And I can't tell you, you know, that reading these stories, I know we must have left a real mess in that pool. I mean, those filters are going to need to be changed because some people let go of some things. I just want you guys real quick, Jason, let's start with you. Just say one or two words of what you let go of when you went down into that water.
That huge building of false thinking and everything I've built up for all so many years that led me down the wrong road. I'm letting go of that.
Amen. Up.
Negativity and grudges and reacting and start acting instead of reacting.
Yes. Wow.
Mistakes, anger, pain, just all of my past.
Wow.
I think jealousy and the inability to prioritize the things in your life that really need to be prioritized and put first.
Mm. I think I left a lot of fear. I feel like I'm pretty ready to climb some mountains now.
Hey, my son said, don't hold me under too long because the water will turn black. But I think it's the stupid things I did in my life. You know, it's the things that I know I've caused people pain. That's the stuff I wanted to leave.
I think what I ended up leaving behind was a lot of doubts I had in myself and a lot of feelings of not being good enough. And coming up out of that, you know, just having a lot of faith that going forward that that you know, God gives me strength and going forward with my life, and that, you know, that I am good enough now, you know.
Amen. Well, I think I speak on behalf of the entire community here at the Orchard when I say that we're really proud of you guys for this step that you've taken in your lives, aren't we? And of course, you know, that journey doesn't stop now. You know, the journey continues. And the last word of today is the word practicing, because that's really what our life is about, really becoming the people God created us to be. And we're actually, in a week from now, we're going to start a new series that is going to be, I promise, the most unique series we've ever done here. And it is going to be about that. It's going to be about how we move forward in that journey, how we navigate through it, and how we grow and how we develop. And it's going to be one you won't want to miss. But listen, guys, I want to say one more time, thank you so much. Can we just give these guys, as they're seated, let's give them a huge hand clap. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You know, I want to just close by posing a question here. And I guess what I want to ask is, where do you find yourself in this journey? You know, are you at the place of rethinking some things? Are you finding that you've just begun to believe now, or maybe you're at a place where you're ready to receive, or maybe even go public with your faith, or the whole practicing part of it. I mean, where are you at in your journey? And as you think about that, I want to pray, and I want to pray for those who took this step of faith of being baptized, but I also want to pray in particular this prayer that Paul prayed over Timothy. If you were here last week and I prayed this prayer, and it's so powerful, I want to pray the same prayer over you. And it goes like this. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. And this is my prayer for all of you, just as Paul prayed this for Timothy. He said, "But you, Timothy, man of God," and of course we include all of the women of God, "pursue a righteous life, a life of wonder, faith, love, steadiness, courtesy. Run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life that you so fervently embraced in the presence of so many witnesses." And if that's your prayer for yourself and for others, would you just bow your heads? Let's pray together. God, that is our prayer. That is our prayer. That is your people, that we would pursue a righteous life, that we would run hard and fast in the faith. God, that we would seize the eternal life, the life that you have called us to, and the life that so many of us fervently embraced, God, in the presence of so many witnesses. And God, today we want to say thank you because you give us a fresh start. Thank you for your forgiveness. God, I love the scripture where it says that you are ready to forgive. You are ready to forgive. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Thank you for your forgiveness. God, you're at work within us. And so today we can stand before you with confidence because we are your sons and we are your daughters. We pray this together now in your son's name. Amen.
This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.